Hi, Alex.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm muted. There's my volume.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
Also well. I'm enjoying this nice weather, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, right. You can't say enough of that. It's a heck of a turnaround for sure.
Yes, very much so. Let's see if I can find where I saved all this stuff. Ezra, Kim. Use the board.
Yeah. Are we going over people's discs?
Yes. So basically right now it's the same program that we did with PEPCO. That first disc day.
What is this, meeting three?
Technically, but unofficially meeting two because we did boot camp twice.
It is. Oh, okay. Let's I'm gonna do
your head cut off.
Yeah.
There you go. That's good.
Yeah.
So I have my disc, the right one, and the binder. Hey, Mike Gable.
Hey, good afternoon.
You're not in the basement today.
No, I'm in the dining room. It was a little too chilly down in the basement.
It's beautiful here today.
It's nice outside, but in my basement, it's like a cooler or a meat locker.
Katie, I thought you were coming to hang out with us.
It was too nice out. I couldn't do it. Next week.
I have the door, the windows open. I mean, hi, Khadija. Hi.
Hi.
I know, you can just open that up.
Yeah.
As long as the squirrels don't come in, we'll be okay.
I need some air. Ellie, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
The bottom one, Sesta. And Kim Boyle was here, but now she left. I don't know who that was.
It was me. I renamed. I'm on my mom's computer.
Oh, duh. Kim and Katie. Smart one right here. Hello? Alex is back.
Ezra. Alex. Alex, did you scare Fran with your enthusiasm?
I don't know if scare is the right word. I don't know that he totally knew how to take it.
Oh,
I mean, I guess he was a little maybe nervous, understandably so, as to an unproven person coming onto the sales team. But so far, I think it's going pretty good.
Okay. All right. There should be a few more people here.
Yeah.
Hi, Khadijah.
Hi, everybody.
We're missing Rachel, unless...
And Sam from, or not Sam, who else from...
Osher?
No, from
Ed.
Oh, yeah, Ed.
Ed?
Yeah, and, maybe see where he's doing.
The Fidel people are all on, are probably saying they're on Perm.
Not yet. Maybe not. No, Ezra's here.
Yeah, but he's Polycraft and he's a leader. How are you, Ezra? Oh, Rachel. Yeah, where's Rachel?
How are you, Charlie? Sorry.
Good. How are you? Where's your wife?
Rachel's not gonna join. I think today's meeting. She might hop up, you know, on through her phone soon.
All right. Oh, geez. 1, 2, 3. Not here. Rachel 4. Ezra 5. Ellie 6, Alex 7.
No, and Logan said he's not going
to
be here.
Oh, yeah, Logan has to do a walkthrough. Mike, I still feel
like... Oh, yeah, we're missing Michael.
Yeah, which Michael?
Whitcraft is, oh, yeah. is getting, he'll be late.
Yeah, all right.
42nd time through.
Those of you that have cameras... if you can, pop them back on there. We will use the board. I'm trying to do more than just talk. So that would be a big help. I know Ellie's driving. Ezra, are you driving?
No. I'm at my desk.
There you go. Howard, it's good to see you again.
Good.
Alex, are you coming back? Are you on a call real quick?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what's it's 2 weeks since we convened, so we've got a couple new people here. I had a good meeting up with Sam and Ed up at AMS. Thank you for your time and commitment. What are you throwing
at us? I was trying to do the poll, but I don't know how to do just one question at a time.
All right. So We had some homework from the last time we were together. Those of you that were on the restart of the start. So how many of you had an opportunity to realize you were on a bus ride or think you might be on a bus ride? Who can share a story about some business development success or some business development frustration that would kind of put us in the conversation of, are you riding a bus or are you in control of what you're doing? That's terrible, Sarah.
What?
There.
The poll?
Well, it was right in the middle of everything.
Oh, sorry.
So don't be bashful now. This is joint learning.
Charlie, I would say I'm on a bus ride just to get a meeting.
All right.
And it started with a customer that I reached out to and had a conversation about our products. And he expressed an interest and wanted to schedule a meeting. And he deferred the meeting until other people could be involved in the meeting. And every time I would call to find out, what is everyone's schedule? He would put it off and say, well, so-and-so is out today. He'll be back later this week. And it would be continuous. So it came to a head this week where he just said that he'll get back with me. which is totally fine. But I guess one of the things that I just wanted to find out is, I don't know if a lot of people did the disc file or disc profile.
Yeah.
How do you start to recognize the personalities of people that you reach out to? I've always struggled with that.
Yeah. So
that's the whole reason why Mike re-enrolled.
Yeah. So let's hang on to that.
Okay.
We're going to do a little regrouping here, and then we'll go to let's talk about disc profile stuff as we move forward. So you've got someone who was interested and then ghosted you, right? Essentially, right. just right. kept hitting the delay button, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's a classic one. We'll talk about that. Anybody else have one? Sam, is there anybody you'd like to just say yes or say no, but enough of this crap? You have someone in that game?
Yeah, one of our biggest ones or one of our biggest problems is so we do filling equipment and all kinds of different models, and them not knowing what they want. So they want a quote for an A100 and this model and this model and this model. And it's a lot of wasting your time when really you can get them a better solution with just kind of a phone call. But like you said, trying to get them on the phone for a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. And so instead of just pushing information across the table and then waiting for them to process and digest and react, let's just cut that stuff out, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And by the way, Sam and Ezra, you need to meet each other.
Yes.
What you make, Sam, Ezra makes the bags that people would want their stuff dropped into.
Oh, okay.
And so you guys need to connect with each other. I'll make sure there's a way that you get information from each other. It just dawned on me because you're right beside each other on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably a lot of opportunities to think about things with each other there. So
for sure.
Let's quit right now. That's enough business
for okay. me.
So, all right, that's a good one. So did you do anything about it?
So basically what we did was instead of giving them 20 different quotes, which would have taken, you know, 2+ weeks.
Yeah.
We kind of just gave them a little chart of estimated speeds and a budgetary range to kind of hone in on exactly what their budget is, because they were surprised with some of the equipment costs. They're like, wow, you know what? This is actually more my budget. So we could actually kind of hone in on exactly what they needed.
Yeah. So what's the lesson in that?
I couldn't get him on a phone call. So I was trying to just get some better detail from him or figure out what his actual need was, not just, you know, I want this and this, let's, you know, instead here's this model that goes this fast and here's the budget, and kind of get you at least honed in on the direction to take next.
Yep.
So I can get him some better detail on that specific thing.
Okay, good. I'm going to come back to your conversation in a minute. Alex, who are you tired of talking to that's not doing anything?
So far, I can't say if there's anybody that I'm tired of talking to. The issue is that I have had a couple customers that I've signed recently.
Yeah.
New customers and should be big customers, but they're dealing with our competition. So I can't help but think that maybe I signed them just to become a pricing tool to negotiate with the competition.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you asked them, why do you want to do business with me? What did they tell you?
Well, you know, the stock answer I've been getting a lot lately is that, you know, with the supply chain issues and stocking levels, people want to have as many choices as they can with distributors. They know us, they've recognized us. They like our, you know, business model. And the hope is once they see that we are competitive and then order once or twice, then they're hooked, but it's getting that point. And that was the challenges I was having last week.
So what was that word you just, there he is, Sarah. There's our best buddy. So what was the word that you used in that sentence a second ago?
Getting them to order would get, and then they can realize how good it is. Then they're hooked.
You said the hope is, right?
Yes.
What's the problem with that word hope?
You're totally admitting that you're riding on the bus with the customer because essentially they're in full control.
Yeah, there's no real control. There's no mutual agreement on what's going to happen, right? So all you can do is hope that it goes to the destination that you want it to when you want to get it there, right? So,
absolutely.
Katie, now you've got, have you parked your butt outside the door yet and talked to people?
No, in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. So you have a lot of time to process all this stuff and think about how it works. Good. All right, Ezra, here's the game that we're playing with these people now. And you can jump in when you can say, oh, I can identify with that one. All right. So what's the first step of the buyer's process? What's the first step of the buyer's process? What's the L stand for?
Leave out vital info.
Yeah, they leave out vital information. What's some of the information that they leave out? So Ezra, when somebody calls and says, hey, we'd like to see about doing business with Polycraft, what's some of the information they don't share with you?
What quantities they want to order, what price breaks, you know, the specs even. They just shoot, I want to order. They expect us to know what they're thinking.
Yeah. So who the real decision maker is, what their time frame is, why they want to change, who they're already working with, how big a problem they're having. So why don't they tell us that information? Michael, how are you, Michael Whitcraft?
Doing very well. Thanks for asking, Charlie.
Good. Ed, how are you? It's good to see you join us.
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. So why don't they give us all this information right up front?
They want to just get a feel for us. They want to shop around. They're not ready to order yet.
Yeah, well, they want to maintain control. Because if they give you all this information, what are they afraid you're going to do as a salesperson?
Take advantage of them.
Take advantage of them. They're afraid you're going to use it to push them into a corner, stick a pen in their hand, and make them sign a purchase order and give you 8,000 tires worth of revenue, right, Alex? So if they think you get too close and you're like, okay, you're ready to buy from me, they pull out that card that says, I'm not the decision maker, or we're not ready till September, or whatever it is. So this is a control issue because they don't trust salespeople. Now, even people we've done business with before, sometimes they haven't gotten to that level of trust yet. So we're always playing the game of, I got to get enough information. What do they ask for next? If you say, okay, let me see if I can help you. What does the O stand for?
Out for a free education.
Yes. Now, what are the things that they ask you for in that free education? And if they ask real, like, wow, yeah, we really need to talk to you. Can you give me, what are some of the things that they immediately start asking for? And our sales mind says, all right, this is going in the right direction. These people, they're still talking. They want more information. What are the things that they want from us? Remember, it's the four P's.
Price.
They want to know your pricing. So these people that Sam was talking about, they wanted pricing. That was part of what they wanted, wasn't it, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
What else did they want to know from Sam?
Product info.
Yeah. So they want price. They want product knowledge. What else do they want to know?
People and process.
Yeah, they want to know what people they work with or what other people you've worked with. So they kind of want to tell me some of your customers, tell me some people who already trust you. And then they want to know the process to how to get it from you. So the more information they ask for, what's our instinctive reaction saying in our brain?
Let's give them what they want.
Because what, Mike?
We want to get their business.
I can't expect them to do anything if I don't give them all this information and they're actually asking for the information I think is valuable. So we immediately start thinking, and if I don't do it, what's the rest of that sentence?
They're not going to be buying.
They're going to go to the competition who will do it. So we start getting emotionally connected to this opportunity. We hope it's real. But who's gathering, who's really taking control at this point?
The
customer is. Once you push all that stuff across the table, what can they do? What can they do, Ed?
They can ghost you.
Yeah. Hey, great. It looks super. I love this stuff. You've shown me stuff I haven't seen from anybody else. Call me in 2 weeks, right? That's the national averages. Call me in 2 weeks. And where are we mentally at that point? Where are we mentally and emotionally at that point?
Frustrated.
Frustrated because?
We didn't close the sale there and then.
Yeah, we got all this great stuff and they actually said they liked it. But they didn't give me an order. They didn't say, well, good, let's write up a PO. How do we work together? They just start to do what? What's the S stand for?
Shop around.
Well, it's shop around. I like, we may change that.
String you along.
They string either or.
Yeah. They string you along or they retreat and go shop around. Now, what does it sound like when they string you along? What are some of the classic string you along sentences?
Man, that sounds good. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good. We'll be in touch. Mike, what was yours? You shared yours to open the conversation today. What was it?
We got to get everybody together so we can have a meeting.
We got to get everybody on the team in the room. We got to get everybody that's going to be involved, be part of the process. We got to have more people there. What else do they tell you?
I want to go through everything with a fine tooth comb.
Yeah, I got to take it apart and I got to digest it and get all into it. What's the problem with this step?
I'm
Sam, was that you? And Khadijah, go ahead.
I said like that means like they're like stalling, like they're just buying time so they can just figure out what they actually want to do. Like they don't really know what they want to do.
Well, if they've gotten your price, what do you think they're going to do?
They're going to see if they can, it's in their budget. Like if they can.
Up around.
They're going to go take it to other people and go, hey, we kind of have a budget. They're not going to tell them I stole my price from Polycraft. They don't tell people that. They go, well, we know we have a budget of around, amazingly, it's just like your number, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't say yes. They don't say no. Why do they string you along? What's the real play that they're doing here?
Get more from you, or they're just generally not interested.
See, if they go to the other guy and the other guy goes, well, I can't give you all that for that price, or my price is actually much higher, or my this, that, and the other thing is different. See, if you leave, they're stuck. So they're holding you, like, don't leave yet, man. I still need you here in case this other manufacturer can't do it. So they want to keep you in their pocket. They string you along. They don't say yes. They don't say no. They say, well. And because it's hard to find prospects, we think, we're willing to put up with it. And then if it sits too long, what does everybody start thinking about on the sales side? Not the buy side, on the sales side.
Price is too high.
Oh, maybe we should drop our price. Maybe that will get them. Hey, send them a thing that says our pricing's going up the 1st of April and see if, well, that should. Not necessarily. What does E stand for?
Evade and evaporate.
They keep playing hard to get, right? They keep playing hard to get. Voicemail, voicemail, no response to your email, or they just ghost. They just turn into vapor. And so what does the R really, what's R in this case, finally?
Rejoice, because we are in sales.
Yes, yes, yes. So you can regret ever getting into a sales career or regret ever spending time with those knuckleheads, right?
Is the R new?
Yes.
Oh.
You like that, Mike?
I mean, yeah, I like that. I you know, I'm a sucker for anything new from you.
You don't regret it yet? So, yes, it spells loser. Because you are not in control of this. They're driving the bus. You got to decide, am I just going to jump out while we're going 30 miles an hour and take my risk? Or are you just going to wait until they say, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you?
Let me ask you a question, Charlie.
Yes,
Mike. I'm on a bus ride right now with another principal.
Yes.
And very similar situation. They've got to wait for the owner to make a decision. He's gathering all the information. And he says, I like what you've given me. It's up to them. It's not my decision. We'll have to get back with you in a few weeks. So in my mind, I'm not going to follow up on them. I'm just going to let it go. That's what my thought is as of yesterday.
So this is another line you want to pick up?
No, it's not another line. It's another customer that okay. Reached out to me.
Yes.
They got into a situation where somebody else can't provide products. And yep. They're out searching for somebody to replace them.
Yeah.
So I gave him all the information, just like we described, by giving him all the info that he wanted. And now he's gathered it. And he says, all right, I have to wait for the owner to make the decision.
Anybody want to, what's your question before I go off like a maniac?
My question?
Yes.
Go off like me.
Should you keep waiting?
Oh, no, I'm not going to wait.
Yeah, so where was your mistake?
I was too anxious to give him all the information that he wanted, and I didn't ask him what he needed. Who was the decision maker?
Yeah.
And when will that be made?
Discovery.
Yes.
Yeah. You were too polite, right?
Yes, I was.
So let me.
I was anxious ahead. Because he called me back.
Yeah. Let me jump ahead a little bit right here. Okay. You know, how can you tell what people's disc profile is? in a lot of cases, they're too polite and too patient. They're high S's, steady relators. They don't want to piss people off. They're patient. They're non-confrontational.
And that's who this guy is then.
And who would you be?
The same.
Yes. So that's where you've got to play stronger than your profile. And that's why, look, when somebody says, yo, Mike, I think we've got a problem, what's your automatic response?
What's the problem?
No. Sam, what's the automatic response? Hey, we've got a problem. We need to figure out how to get all this, to get these bags filled. What's the automatic response?
In terms of that profile or?
Just in general. And your profile will make it harder to give the right response. Should I go to the next person?
Yeah.
All right, Alex?
The natural response, if there's a problem, is you're going to do everything in your power to try to fix that problem.
Let me see what I can do to help you, right? Katie, what's the right response? That's all right. Ezra, what's the right response?
Here to help. What are you looking for?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Can I
No, you missed your turn. Ed, what's the right response? That was good.
We'll take
Is good.
All right, who's left? Khadija?
Khadija, you want to take a chance?
Okay, can you say the whole thing again so I can process it?
Somebody says, blah, 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 we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should talk to you. What should your response be?
We have a problem.
That was good. That was good.
So,
Mr. Whitcraft, you want to rescue everybody?
No, because someone says, yeah, we have a problem. My first reaction would be, oh, I was scared you were going to tell me that.
I like that. Now, Mike's on level two stuff here now.
Can I throw a let's pretend? I always try to throw let's pretend in there.
A little too soon for let's pretend, maybe. But the right answer is, I don't know if I can help you.
Oh.
Right? Why is that the right answer?
I'm curious. I want to know why, too.
Because you come off that, you took your salesman hat off.
Yes, you stopped selling. Why is that the right answer, though, other than it's the sales hat's off. All of a sudden, you're not a salesperson. I don't know if I can help you. Why is that the right answer?
It should open up for them to.
They don't feel that you're looking to sell them.
Well, yes. They should talk more about their problem.
Let me give it to you simply. And the most honest answer is, it's the truth. Isn't it the truth?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can help you. Now, technologically, Ezra, if somebody needs a poly bag printed, they need a new design, they need a larger size, you can do that technically, correct? Yeah. By the way, I love walking through your plant. That blows me away. But why can't you help them?
It all depends, and you know, it's the timing, the sizing.
Timing. I don't know if I can get it when you want it, so I don't know if I can help you. What's another reason?
Maybe it doesn't fit your price break.
Your budget and their budget don't line up. What's another reason?
Not my target market. The quantities are too low.
You're not buying enough for me to consider it, even stopping my presses for you. Sam, what's the reason why you might not be able to help them?
It just might not be a good fit for the application.
Yeah, it's you're going to ask us to bastardize our equipment to allow us to fill something that does Mike, why is it not? What's another reason, Mike Gable? Why is another reason why he might not be able to help him?
I was going to say the price point's not there, but that's part of budget.
You're not the decision maker. You're not going to let me to talk to the person that's really got the authority to make this decision. Alex, what's another reason why you might not be able to sign him up?
Trying to apply it to what I do. And the volume one was a good one.
You won't buy enough tires from us.
That was what I was thinking, yeah.
Good thinking. Nice job. Ed, what's a reason why not?
You want this yesterday.
And good.
Custom equipment.
Your timeline and my timeline don't work. Katie, why won't you be able to help somebody who wants to join a gym and get in shape?
Because we don't have all the extra amenities that they want with it.
Yeah, you're not a health spa. You're a workout facility. So the first thing we've got to do, Mike, is we've got to take control of this and say, look, I'm not doing this. I don't know if I can help you. And if you say that to them, where does the pressure to keep the conversation moving go?
It goes back on him.
Right on them. Because what did they expect to have happen?
They wanted me to rescue him.
Yes. Oh, an opportunity. I have to get it. Here's all my stuff. Here's my magic. Here's my dust. Here's my pricing. Here's my contact on technical capabilities. Here's all that stuff. And where are you now?
Taking a seat.
When do people get urgent? Because there's no urgency now, is there? Now that he has all your stuff, I can wait a couple weeks, right?
Right.
When it's their neck on the line?
When it's their neck on the line, or the cost to the business is a number they don't want to look at. So you didn't hold his head underwater, did you, Mike?
No, I'm too nice to do that.
That's it. You went out and said, come here. Come on, man. Let me get you out of that cold water. I'll make you feel better. I'll build a fire. I'll make some hot chocolate, right? I'll put some nice calming music on. And then you can run away without even saying thank you.
Yeah.
Look, we're so programmed to do this. I guarantee you within the last 2 weeks, every single one of you here on this call did this to somebody else in your personal life. It feels natural. It's like, but that's the way it happens, Charlie. That's the way we do it. Only if you want to do it that way.
You know, it is so natural. You don't even think about it. You just get on there. And
yeah.
And we've been through this.
Go ahead, Ezra.
But we all know any big project, they have three quotes going simultaneously. They want to run a project. So how do we give them that number without leaving it on the table? I constantly quote big things where it's out for a bid. I know they're bidding it out, and they look at capacity, look at price, they look at lead time, they look at a few things, but it's out there. It's not like you're saying we can't never share information. There's got to be a middle way.
There is a better way. That's why people talk to me.
All right.
That's why we do this craziness. So look, this is they're in control, and they just hang you out there and go, yep, keep playing. And they're masterful at it. And because we think if I don't do it, I'm out. How do we know if you don't know if you're out? What if you said, how are you going to play the game? Because I might choose not to play it. But we're so afraid of having to prospect for a new one that we jump in and work this game knowing they're going to kick our butts with it. All right? So, Khadijah, does that make sense? She's muted still. You're
muted. Yes, that makes sense. Like the whole, like the breakdown. Because when you first like said that answer, like I didn't expect that, because usually in sales, like you're always just trying to find solutions for people and always be the right nice guy. But for you to do that, it does make sense, like saying the truth. So it does make sense. So never thought about that approach.
We've got to put this process back in place. We've got to rebuild, right? What's the first word of our process? Those of you that were here 2 weeks ago, what's the first word?
Manage.
Very good. We've got to manage. One, two, three, four, five. What are the five things we've got to manage? And I don't have an acronym for this. I just haven't been able to come up with one.
Relationships.
First one is what?
Relationships.
Yeah, we got to manage the relationship. And this is not how to be schmoozy, how to make friends, how to be the nice guy that they love hanging around. Hey, call Alex over. He's cool. He always brings donuts. That's not how we manage relationships, right? That's for amateur hour. That's for social calls. Not in this business. No. So, but we've got to learn how to manage more effective communication and connection with the other human being. That's how you manage a relationship. You develop those skills. Step two, manage what?
Expectations.
Yes. Now, what do we mean by expectations? And this goes right to Ezra's scenario that he just shared with us. Goes right to his scenario. What do we mean by, what are some of the expectations that we're going to manage? Go ahead, Alex.
Well, when we were talking about a customer calls with a problem, the very first thing you say is, I don't know that I'm going to be able to help. In many ways, you're leading with a disarming comment, managing the expectations that I'd love to help you, but I don't know that I can.
And so what's the expectation that is created naturally from that step?
That they have to give the information.
That they're going to have to share a bunch of stuff with me. If you want my help, you better be ready to put everything on the table. So the expectation is, one, we're in the decision business, not the discussion business. Now, all of your businesses, all of us, you've got to discuss some things. You got to share information with them. They share information with you. But how often do you get paid just to talk to people, Ezra?
Never.
Never. Sam? Do people send Peter a check because you were really nice to talk to? No. And you are really nice to talk to, by the way. Katie, what's your business model? Hanging out and talking about fitness? No. You get paid when people agree to do what? Write checks. That's it. So the expectation is we're going to talk about things, but at the end, we're going to be decision makers. You can expect I'm going to need to ask you questions. You're going to get to ask me questions, but then we're going to make a decision. Is there enough good information to move to the next step or agree to do business? Katie's going to be closing 70% of her people in 17 minutes or less, probably. Ezra's business, it might take 7 weeks. Ed's business and Sam's business, it could take 4 calls. Mike's business, same thing. Mike Whitcraft, 2 calls, 3 calls. I don't know what's exactly right, but here's how we do it. And what else can we expect to do if we manage expectations correctly? pay attention to this one. We're going to talk about all of those reasons why I won't be able to help you. Because when do we want to talk about them?
In the beginning.
At the beginning. I don't want to get all excited and get them all excited. And then they say, yeah, but I have to have childcare service. Oh, we should have talked about that. Nope, can't change it. I'm not going to hire someone to come in when you come. I'm not going to bring my little sister over and ask her to sit here with you. No. When do you want to find out the time frames? Irresponsible, Ed.
First conversation.
So we're going to set the rules of how we're going to deal with each other. And we're going to talk about why we shouldn't go any further if there is a reason. All right. Next. What is it?
Manage discovery.
Discovery. Mike Gable, what discovery did you do with this guy who needs someone to get him product when the rest of his supply chain's out of whack?
I did very minimal.
Okay. What happens in discovery if you do it correctly?
You get the real reasons why he's reaching out.
Give me some definition around those reasons.
You understand what his pain point is.
And what does he or she understand?
What you can or cannot do.
No, that's not it. Anybody?
They understand that they have a need that needs to be filled. Therefore, they're reaching out to you. So to a sense, they need you.
You are close, but you're missing the key ingredient. Very good. I like your answer. It's a B-plus answer, Alex. B-plus. But I want A players. I don't want B-plus players when you're done with me.
They understand they need to give you everything for in order for you to know if you can help them.
They understand what it costs them to not fix the problem. Right? Michael, what's it going to cost him if his supply chain stays broken and he doesn't get parts or product? What happens to his business if he doesn't make a commitment to somebody else?
Well, he's not going to be able to ship product.
And then what?
And then he has an unhappy customer.
And then what?
Loses money.
Affects his business.
Yeah. And then on a personal level, what happens?
You could have some jeopardy in his job.
Or if he's the owner, he can't send his kid to Europe for the summer. Or his wife won't get the new house in the gated community. Or he can't send his kid back to Princeton. Or whatever it is. That business issue has a personal impact. And if you don't get people to share it, you're going to be throwing darts at a dead animal. It's not going to bleed.
He hedged his conversation by saying he does have some inventory, but he didn't tell me, and I didn't ask how much.
So you always go backwards. You probably have enough inventory that none of your orders are at risk. And what would he have done? Because what does he expect a salesperson to say, Mike?
You wouldn't expect that to come out of me.
Walk backwards. If you walk backwards, you're so much more effective. If you try to pin people with the, well, I'm sure you need more. You probably don't have 2 months worth. What, you probably have enough to keep all your best customers satisfied. Put them in Jackie Gleason mode. Discovery is when it becomes business and personal. And what happens if I don't get my bags filled? What happens if I don't get my cups weighed right? What happens if I don't have enough tires? What happens if I can't build the equipment? What happens if I wait another 6 months to lose 15 pounds? Someone's going to say to Katie, because this was my story, I had two daughters that got married 6 months to the day apart from each other. Why did I decide to get fit? Anybody want to guess?
For the wedding?
In particular, what was it?
Pictures.
Walking down the aisle?
You and Mike are right. I did not want to be the fat dad in the pictures. Plain and simple. It wasn't X number of dollars a month. It was, ooh, do I want to be that guy in those pictures for those two women? No, I didn't. It became personal. All right? Four.
Manage info and presentations.
Yeah. We manage information and presentations and proposals. We don't tell them everything about our stuff. What do we tell them? We connect it to what we learned about discovery. Don't make yourself excited about what you're selling. Get them to believe that they can't live without you. Here's what the manufacturer told me about these tires. I don't know if they're going to think that's a good idea or a bad idea, so I don't want to talk about it unless it came up in discovery. And the last part is what?
Manage negotiation.
We got to manage negotiation. How do most people negotiate?
On price?
Well, they give in. They give in. They go, okay. And it's unilateral. It's not, look, if you want another 10%, you got to give something to me. You're going to buy two machines? You're going to buy another two brands of tires? Are you going to give me the purchase order by 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? Negotiation, two parties concede for a mutually acceptable agreement. Not one, okay, I'll do another 5%. Nope, that's not a negotiation, that's concession. I don't want you to live in the world of concession, because what happens when you concede?
You're not happy with it.
What's that, Mike?
You're not happy with it.
You're not happy with it. And what have you trained your customer to do?
Always ask for something more.
They hold you underwater. Can't do it. This is always where we've got to be. You cannot ride the bus and be here at the same time. You just can't. It looks like it's slower, it's actually faster. Why is it actually faster?
Get the nose out of the way immediately so you can move on to the next person.
That's one reason. Why else?
It's like driving, it's like using a GPS versus like using, I don't even know, like your natural sense of direction, right? Like you might eventually figure out where you need to go, but this kind of streamlines the process.
That was brilliant.
Look at you. Look at you.
That was a brilliant conceptual connection.
Virtual gold star.
That was really good. Yeah, look, when you get to discovery and you do it right, they want it fixed now. They don't want to think about it for 2 weeks. They don't want to like, well, maybe we'll call the group together and, you know, burn some incense and chant about it for a while. But, hey, get over here. Hey, yo, 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 Gable, we need you.
That did happen with me, and I texted you after it happened. A customer asked me if I had any sales training.
Yeah.
And I told him no. And he said he had taken a training course in Florida, and I can't remember the name of it. I texted it to you.
Sandler?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And after going through the discovery process, he felt more comfortable working with me, and it got to the next step. So we're still in the process of getting an order.
Yep.
And it looks like it can happen.
All right.
Just, you know, just some questions that are still out there.
All right. Good. Just keep, look, just Mike, you got to be able to say to the guy, if you ever think that we just can't get it across the finish line, just tell me.
Okay.
And that lets them know it's okay to tell me no. Let's just be honest with each other. If I don't think there's something I can do, I won't hold you up. I'll tell you right away. I'll own it. Will you just do the same for me? And say, just like they say in Sandler, if it's a no, let's not be afraid of it.
Okay.
And you'll be in control of it still. All right?
Okay.
All right. Ezra, we lost Ezra.
No, he's still there.
Is he?
Yeah, there's two.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, what? Mike Whitcraft moved over.
She might have to go.
Yeah. Let me see if I can stretch this
out.
Be
able to make yours huge.
I'm trying to. No, it didn't do it.
All right.
So let's talk about managing relationships. So, Mike, you did your disc profile a year ago, right?
Yes.
Right. Sam, have you done your disc profile? Yes. I think I've seen yours, correct? Alex, have you done yours?
Yes.
Alex has his.
Yeah, I think everyone in this class is done.
All right, good. Let's talk about how they work. What I'm not going to do is read your reports. All right. Ezra's done his because we did his with the benchmarking process. So, and Khadijah's just done hers. So, look, if people are comfortable, let me put it this way. When do you feel safest making decisions? When you're comfortable or uncomfortable? Stupid question, I know, but somebody answer it.
Comfortable.
When you're comfortable, all right? So when are you more comfortable? Working in your style or being forced to work in someone else's style?
When you work in your style.
You work in your style, right? How many of you know what your style is? That's the next question. So what we're trying to do is to create a personal awareness of how you operate most comfortably. And wouldn't the world be great if everybody said, oh, I see Alex is a high I. I'll act just like Alex. So this will be a comfortable conversation for him. Wouldn't that be great, Alex? Yeah, it'd be like, wow, everybody thinks I'm the most important. But that doesn't happen. What do your customers or prospects expect you to do?
They expect you to acquiesce to their style.
Yes. You're like, hey, I got the money. Talk my language. Well, what we've got to do is teach you how to talk everybody's language, how to recognize what language they want without them saying, oh, I'm a high compliant. So just give me details and data and information and I'll work this out logically. No, they just play the, I don't know, because they don't know who they are either. So what we've got to do is we've got to understand this language of DISC. And DISC is how people try to behave to be the most effective they can be. So, Sarah, if you'll pull up your profile first, and we'll just run through a couple things. And then we'll get to the boxes. All right.
Okay.
Go ahead. Go to basic behavioral characteristics. All right. So y'all have, there's like four intro pages that tells you about all the chapters in the assessment. But here's the things I want you to be most. Get rid of that.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I clearly need to work on my
polls. All right. So behavioral characteristics. I don't worry about what's in there. And I don't want any of you to worry about what's in there unless you think there's something that's incorrect. And if there's something that's incorrect, don't go run to somebody and go, am I like this? Let them read this page and a half and then ask them, see here where it says, Sarah prefers authority equal to her responsibility. I don't think I'm like that. What do you think? Now, all I'm trying to do is give you an opportunity to let someone else say, Sarah, are you kidding me? That's exactly the way you are. I want you to uncover any blind spots. Because blind spots, if you're out on the highway driving 80 miles an hour and you move from right to left, and there's someone in your blind spot, what happens? You run into them, or they hit their horn and give you some digital encouragement to move back over, right? So I'm just looking for you to find blind spots in behavioral characteristics. Next slide that's really important is this one. Value to the organization. So, Ed, you have technical competence in engineering and product design and mechanical processes, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What makes you valuable to an organization like AMS? What makes you valuable beyond those technical competencies? What is it?
I guess being able to relay it, like all that information is great to have, but if you can't relay it or relate it to the customer in a way they understand it.
Or other teammates, your value to the organization is how you take your competence and connect to other people, how you effectively interact with other people. We can teach people engineering. Now, some of us learn it quicker than others. Some of us would really struggle. But if you decided to go, coach youth soccer, this was what would make you a good soccer coach is the things on this page. This is powerful stuff. Understand the magic of this page. Okay. Now go to the boxes. All right. You all have, this page is the same in all of your results. And if we draw the boxes, we get the four traits of DISC. Now everybody's gone just like that.
Well, I spotlighted you again because I thought you were using your boxes.
All right. So we have DISC on these boxes. D is for dominance. I is for influencing. S is for steadiness. And C is for compliant. Now, they're all different. But what you've got to do is you got to understand which box you start in. So where is your most dominant trait in your natural style? And you should understand what these really mean in the way you connect with people. So let's walk through it a little bit. Sucks. All right. D. D stands for dominance. What do dominant people, what's important to high dominant people?
Control.
Control. Good one. What else?
Short, sweet, to the point.
Direct. Good.
Ego.
Bottom line. What else is characteristic of a high D, high dominant person?
Intelligence.
Don't make that assumption.
Ego.
Ego. What else?
Result driven.
Yes.
Knows better than anyone.
He's better than everyone. Humble is what I hear you saying, right?
Good. Look, this one's critical. Urgency. If you want to win, go find a couple high D people to push the team forward. They will push the team forward, and what won't they care about?
The morale of the team and the relationships within the team.
They will not care about the relationships. They won't care about the morale of the team. If you want to make an omelet, you've got to break some eggs. Those are your high dominant people. So they are impatient. What else?
They lack detail. They just skip over stuff.
Yep. No detail. What else? No strokes. What do I mean by no strokes?
They don't like their ass kissed.
They don't like their ass kissed, and they won't kiss yours. So, hey, you never give me any strokes. What's a typical high D say? You get your strokes in an envelope every 2 weeks. So your paycheck is your strokes. But they will move. The problem is they're never satisfied. If you accomplish the goal at 3 o'clock, keep going. We're good. There's still sun out. We can. And at the end of the day, everybody's like, I'm never going to work hard again because we just get crushed for being successful. They can be demotivating in their urgency to set the record for anything. Here's the crazy part. If you're a high D boss, you can see somebody who makes a mistake. You can rip them up one side and down the other at 11 o'clock. What happens once that conversation's over?
Wow. You've lost that person for the day.
Say that again.
You've lost that person for at least the day.
No, they go, Alex, do you get my point? Do you get my message? Do you hear what I'm saying to you? Yes. Let's go to lunch at noon.
They can drop it.
They can punch you out at 11 and take you to lunch at noon.
Yeah.
Because it's not personal. It's just like, I told you, you suck. Don't you ever suck again. Let's go to lunch.
Don't sugarcoat stuff.
No sugarcoating. So what's a nickname positive for a high D? Positive nickname.
Driving.
I'll take that. Driver. Give me another one.
Get shit done.
Type A, okay? What's a negative nickname?
Hard ass.
Abrasive.
ASS.
A-hole.
Yeah.
You know someone's had an interaction with a high D that wasn't positive. When they're shaking their head, walking away, God, what an A-hole. That's it. And if the high D hears it, what does the high D think?
Nothing.
That's it. So what? So these people, if you're going to sell to them, don't go in and talk about family. Don't go in and, hey, how are you? What's going on? They're like, we're here for business, man. This money, this time's expensive. Headlines, bottom lines, decisions. You got to know that's going on. All right. Hi, I. Influencer. What are some of the traits of a high eye?
Outgoing.
Very good.
Ali, can you make the change the camera?
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah.
They're like what we're trying to get away from. They're natural born salesmen.
Yes.
They enjoy fun.
Salesy, fun. What else?
It can annoy people.
Yes, sayers. They never
say no. Which colors?
They can't say no. What else?
They think everyone is going to work along.
Too optimistic. What are the favorite words of high I people? Two words. You hear it from them. If you hear these words, you know you're talking to a high I. What are they?
It's going to be good.
Well, that's more than two. But maybe that's a Hebrew thing I don't understand still.
Of course. Yes, of course.
No problem. Now, what should you think if somebody goes, sure, no problem? What should you immediately think?
High eye,
and it's no problem for them because it's going to turn into my problem. And so, hey, no problem. They say no problem to everyone because they're always overcommitted. They're the life of the party. What matters most to them is everybody has a good time and we're friends, even if we got to fudge the details a little bit. All right? Sam, who have we talked about when I was in your office last week?
Kevin.
Kevin was no problem about everything, wasn't he?
Yep. Sure, we can do that. Yeah, of course we can do that.
Really worried about Mexico.
Yeah, it was like, sure. Hey, can you get me 7,000 tires here next week? I have a fleet coming in. No problem. Boom, trouble. No, I didn't say that. I thought you said seven, not 7,000. I thought, and then they're full of excuses. Life of the party. Not any accountability. What's a positive nickname for them, though? Because there is good stuff here. It's just got to be managed. What is it? They're often seen as go-getters. All right? Or Energizer Bunny. Guy never stops. But what's the negative nickname?
That's everyone now.
BS. They're BSers, man. It's just like they don't worry about the details. We'll figure it out as we don't worry. It's no problem. They're just like, you know, you just stop it. I have a bunch of clients in Texas over the years. They talk about those people as being all hat, no cap. So they could dress up, they just couldn't ride a horse if their life depended on it. So they're dangerous if you're not careful with them. And if you're one of them, be careful. Because there's a lot of people in your wake that are annoyed with what didn't get done. steady, steadiness. Look, this is 40% of the population right there in that box. What are the characteristics of high, steady people?
Reliability.
Very reliable. Yep. What else?
Patient.
Generally.
They're very patient. Good choices right off the bat.
Easy going.
Very easy going.
Thought through. Every step is thought through.
Thoughtful. Yep. What else?
Predictable.
Very predictable. Loyal. And they're generous with their time. They don't think of themselves first. They think of others first. So they're selfless. Not about me. It's about all of us. Now, what's the negative side of these people?
They're easily taken advantage of.
Yes.
They're not leaders.
Because they don't decide.
Correct.
Okay. They're victimized. They don't decide. What don't they like more than anything?
Confrontation.
Pressure.
Yeah. They do not like confrontation. It's spelled wrong, but you know what I mean. What's the second biggest thing they don't like?
Pressure.
They don't like pressure, but there's one that's even more important.
Conflict.
That's confrontation.
Confrontation, yeah.
They don't like change.
Change.
They don't like change. So if you go to sell a high S and you say something, we've got something new and better, you're out. Why are they threatened by new and better?
Because they're happy with what they have.
And that might mean, that means you're going to replace me with something. Someone else will do it better than I've done it. They want it to be the same. This is what I'm used to. This is, I know this works. Why do we need new and better? And they immediately think, that means something's going to happen to me. My job might change. And so if you're selling to a high S and you go, this is exciting and new and better, and it's different, that they will find a way to kill it. Here's the other part of it. If you take advantage of them, they become very passive aggressive. If they don't get what they want enough, they become passive aggressive. And they will take you out, but they'll let someone else do it for them. So that when you get stabbed, they get to watch it. And they don't cheer out loud, but they cheer.
B-O-R.
Yes.
What was that?
Go ahead, Michael.
Just switch a broker with a letter. It's a broker record. So yeah. A lot of clients get surprised with them. They just switch. They don't want to deal with talking to you and hashing out the problem. They'll just switch to another broker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they don't tell you, I'm not buying from you anymore. They don't tell you your prices weren't right. They don't tell you that they thought you were rude in the office. They just burn you to the ground when you're not there. They talk bad about you to people that they think will really take that information and crush you with it. Every organization needs really great high S people, but you've got to manage them very, very carefully. All right. Positive nickname.
They're the best.
But who would that be, Mike?
That's me.
They're the glue. They hold organizations and processes together because they do all kinds of work for people. They're always supportive. And they're like, they're great resources because they like to help. But how do we perceive them if they're if in the negative?
Stubborn.
What's that?
Stubborn.
Boomer.
Yes, they're stubborn. Good word. Any others? Wimps. We often look at them as wimps because they won't step up and take charge and make changes and deal with things. They're constantly going to the boss, Michael Whitcraft, to make the boss fix the problem that they can't talk to the coworker about, right?
Oh, yeah.
My place is full of S's. I employ them.
All right. So, I need more info how to fix them.
You have one really big S in your organization that I know. Yeah. And he might be closely related to you.
Yep.
Compliance. What matters most to compliance?
Neat.
That's up there, but there's something else that I'd rather put as the first word.
Detail.
Say that.
Detail.
Orderly.
Can you take detail and kind of make it a bigger process, Sam?
SOPs.
They like that because they like structure. They like structure and rules and regulations so that I don't make decisions. I just tell you, you have to follow rules and regulations. And so they like that. To them, it's more important to be right than anything. And so they won't do things and risk making a mistake. They just have to be right. So what do they spend a lot of time dealing with?
Small detail.
Minutia.
Yes. Data, facts, rules.
They're perfectionists.
Analysis paralysis.
Yes. And so what are some of the negative impacts of being high C? They're stuck. Getting ready. To get ready, GRTGR.
They right? lack results.
It's always more information, more trials, more testing. What else is negative about them?
They might be seen as not productive.
Yeah, they can often lose productivity. They're argumentative.
They want everyone to do everything for them. They yes. come up with the data they want. And they feel everyone should do it afterwards.
Control through data. To them, there's no such thing as a timeline. Why? Perfection can't be rushed. And so there was a commercial years ago, we will serve no wine before it's time. And high C's, that's, look, if we're going to do work, we're going to do perfect work and don't tell me the deadline. Ezra, some of that's at your place too, right?
Now that I'm seeing it, the new piece we brought, we got the full circle now.
There you go.
We got all that. Right.
What's a positive nickname for a compliant? Because there is a great need for them.
Structured.
They're the reality base. They're practical, right? They keep people like me from driving off the edge of the earth.
But they're brutal reality. More like they come at it strong.
Yes. What's the negative nickname
Something with E.
Anal retentive.
Fun police. Anal retentive. Or buzz kills.
Dwight Schrute.
Here's what you've got to know. C's and I's, enemies. All about detail, no detail. All about as long as it takes, let's just go ahead and do it now. All about rules and regulations, no, no, no. Fun is fun. Dominance and steadies, oil and water. All about get it done, don't worry about the people. If you worry about the people, we'll be able to get it done. No strokes, need strokes.
Don't they call that toxic personalities or toxic, they're toxic personalities?
It could be if you're not aware of it. So in the binders, in the electronic binders that you have, Sarah, if you'll go back to that.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, that's not the binder.
No. She's not a high C.
No.
Here we go.
What do you want to hear?
Go to the disk profile stuff. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know that?
Nope. Keep going. Keep going. So in here, there's a bunch of charts and little graphs that tell you how to communicate effectively with people, what kind of expectations they want you to deliver when you're going to work with them. Go another page.
They're also on your class page.
And there is a class page. So there's a whole bunch of stuff inside the binder about how to effectively work and literally talk to other people on different profiles and how to recognize them.
I'm going to show you in a second.
All right.
Sorry, I don't have it up. I usually do, and I don't. So if you haven't found this page, you really should use it. Your homeworks, I already put today's homework video up. But at the bottom, you have Decoding Disk at Work, which is a fantastic microsite that our vendor actually put together. And your disk clue and selling sheets.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of ways to decode and to effectively let someone be comfortable with the way you work with them. So you've got to have this basic understanding. You've got to understand, oh, so that's why I don't get along with Charlie. So that's why I struggle to communicate with Bob or whoever it is. Because I'm an I and Charlie's a C. Well, that's not true at all, but actually. So you've got to be able to start to catch people and identify them. And if your price is $150 and your competitor's price is $145, why will you get the business? Come on.
Well, through the process, you've showed more value?
No.
You're speaking their language?
Who was that, Ed?
Mm-hmm.
Ed, was that you or who was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're more comfortable with you because you understand, oh, that high C person, let's get into the details here. Let's show them actually how it works. Let's just not talk about it. I'm a high I. I struggle selling to engineers because I'm a really high I, and really high C's are even more focused on data and information. I have to be very prepared to go and speak that language or I'm lost.
I do not want to be sold by a high C because it makes me want to rip my hair out.
Yes.
Do not Tell me all the things. Do not demo for me. I don't care.
Yeah. So I've actually had people tell me I can't let you buy this because you haven't listened to enough information. I'm like, no. I had enough information after the third sentence. You told me it will work. You came here from a referral. Good enough. Write it up. Well, no. Let me show you this. I'm like, one more show me and you're out the door. And they're angry that they can't demo. So I'm like, Alex, how would you talk to somebody for $10,000?
Well, it would obviously depend on the person based on this, but you know, I cut to the chase, let them know what it's all about. I'm not somebody who likes to be bored with details.
What's the general statement that so the general statement answer is, how would you talk to someone for $10,000?
However they want to be talked to.
That's it. Exactly, Ed. That's the answer. And every single one of you within the next 14 days will run into a conversation that will be like, oh, it's not that comfortable for me, but there's $10,000 across the table. I better get my act together about this. I'll do it. Don't let your ego get in the way of what you have to do tactically. No immoral, no unethical, no illegal, but you better be willing to accommodate that other person so they trust you more than the other person. All right. What are we, 10 minutes left? Is that right?
Not even, I don't think.
All right. Questions or comments about DISC? It's all in the binder. The microsite is great information in there. I would tell you to pull that stuff down and print it. Everybody's working on their desk. Alex, you're out and about, right?
Eventually, right?
True.
I'm home now, but.
Yeah, it's all there. Put it where you can see it and start thinking about people. Put your coworkers' names in the boxes. Very effective to have the visualization. All right. One thing, what'd you get today? Katie, what'd you get today? You're sitting in the sunshine, you punk. I don't like that.
Other than a tan, I got more on the managing the discovery. I think the dive into that was helpful today.
Good. Sam?
The whole DISC profiles and how to communicate with different types of people is very helpful.
It's in your world where you talk to a lot of engineers, and look, all you got to do is walk out of that conference room where we were, and DISC profile stuff happens like boom.
Yeah, I already have somebody for each box.
Yeah.
There you go. But we'll have to do a wheel.
Yeah, the first time I came up to the new offices, I got into the vestibule there and hit the button, knocked on the glass. All of the engineers just sat at their desks and looked at me like, you're a human being. We don't deal with humans. It's not our job to let people in. They just like, go ahead, knock again, you jerk face. And I was giving them all the finger behind the window. You know, it was brutal. So good pickup. Mr. Gable, did we help with DISC at all today?
Yes, it was good just to revisit the buyer's bus because I think it's so easy to jump on there.
It's all over the place. If you're not careful, it'll get you.
Right.
Alex?
The DISC profiles are really useful. I mean, do we get a copy of our evaluations to kind of know where we're at?
You should have it.
We'll make sure you have it.
Yeah, that would be helpful because I'd love to know where I lie on that.
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I had sent that to you right away. Maybe I sent it to Fran.
Yeah.
I'll get it to you right now. No worries.
Ed, what'd you get today?
It was nice kind of diving into more about the DISC profiles and kind of going through characteristics of each one. Just so, you know, things that can put you on high alert when you like hear certain things or notice certain things.
Yeah. Look, all the products you sell, all of you, your products are all a commodity. what's the real value of the sales process? Who, what's the real value that you're putting out there? What is it?
Belief.
That what?
That you're the right person to talk to.
That you're the best person to do business with. And it's how you transmit that and communicate with people that gets it done. Not because you, well, look at all our great engineering. Nobody walks in and says, we build a crappy machine. So you are the competitive advantage. You got to maximize your tool capability there. Good. Mike Woodcraft?
It was good to revisit DISC. I mean, maybe sometime we can talk a little bit about the combos. Like, I haven't seen mine forever. I mean, mine looks like McDonald's. It's D's off the chart, I's off the chart. There's no green or blue anywhere. So,
yeah.
I mean, to me, what we talked about, I must be the biggest a-hole in the world. But it's just interesting to see how to work with people that have like all four, you know, and not just, because there's, you know, most people aren't just D's or just I's.
Yeah. You're the biggest a-hole in the world that everybody wants to hang out with. You know, that's like one of the conflicting parts of being really high D, really high I. So good. Ezra, thanks for joining us today. What'd you get?
Yeah, you know, the DISC is really refreshing again. You know, got my mind going again. And from the sales perspective is that, you know, it's all people. You know, it all boils down to the DISC. You know, you have the DISC figured out, you can deal with anyone.
Yeah, but we got to have the process behind it. Otherwise, we're on the bus chasing them around. People, hey, I know the guy's an S, but I can't get an answer. So good. I'll have some conversations with your office by the end of the week. I've got some stuff to follow up with Desley on. Everybody knows Mike and or Ed and Sam. I'll see you next week in your offices, right? So the homework, here's the homework, by the way. There's a recording of it in your class file. Go out and identify people by DISC and come back in 2 weeks and say, hey, I talked to this person, high D. All he wanted was get to the bottom, is impatient. Just bring back some DISC stories, okay? And we'll talk about it. Alex C., your picture in that background, you look like that picture of the Phil Collins album cover where it's all black in his face. Very interesting. So, and I apologize. I have random visual connections to things. So
well, I'm a drummer too. So,
oh, well, how about that? But you can stand up without a cane now and he can't. So
that's tragic.
Yeah, it is. Anything else, Mike Gable, anything you want to add before we go?
No, I really like the DISC review. I mean, it's enlightening.
Right. Good. Coaching, coaching, coaching. Monday morning managers. Let's go out there and make money, everybody. Thanks for your time and commitment today.
Ezra, do you want to stay on for a couple minutes to talk about what we need to talk about for this part? And I'll just stop the recording.
All right.
All right. Everybody else?